Precious song, amen. So sweet to trust in Jesus and to know that Thou art with me. And that seems to be a theme this morning. He's with us. And I don't know who needed that today, but it's always encouraging to be reminded of the Lord's presence with us. But we also have someone here, a special guest, Tom and Sandy Hastings. I want y'all to go ahead and stand for just a moment. And these are servants of the Lord that have served 48 years in Germany. I mean, that's something, isn't it? I mean, I know they don't want the accolades and praise, but just the example and testimony of this couple to be faithful to the plow, serving in the field God had called them for 48 years. And just this last year, they resigned from the field. They felt God was leading them off the field. But they're quick to say they're not retiring, and they're still serving the Lord. And I love their heart that, you know, you don't retire from serving the Lord. We don't resign from serving the Lord. The Lord may change our ministry. He may change our location. But we never retire from serving the Lord. We serve Him wherever we are. And that's something I think we've lost here in a lot of our American churches, is that we tend to compartmentalize our service to the Lord. That we give Him Sundays. We give Him Wednesday night. That's when we serve Him. But no, that's totally wrong. That's when we congregate to encourage one another, provoke one another to love and good works. That's when we come together corporately to worship our Savior and share our victories and share even our defeats and encourage one another. But we are to serve Him 24/7. I mean, He is, as we leave this service this morning, we are deployed to go out into the world as servants of Christ and to be His witnesses. And if we could grab hold of that, what a difference we could make here in Dumas, Texas. But I'm thankful to have the Hastings with us and to get to know them a little better. And he said that this is their first time to be here at Bible Baptist. And I'm honored that we can have them today. And they served out of Hillcrest Baptist Church in El Paso all those years. Now they are living in Oklahoma City, and they're members of Southwest Baptist Church there, and just serving the Lord and making themselves available to be a blessing. And I think that's great, because they've got a wealth of wisdom and experience and of walking with the Lord that they can help us and encourage us today. And so I'm going to ask Brother Hastings if he would come and share what the Lord's put on his heart. So let's give Him our full attention.
Thank you, Pastor. Have we met before this
morning? I
don't
think so.
Yeah.
First time today.
Amen. Praise the Lord. It's about time.
Yes, that's right.
Oh, yeah. We are glad to be here. People say, well, are you missionaries? Well, you're either a missionary or a mission field. We have all of us a mission. God saved us to serve and to be a witness. That's basically what a missionary is talking about, is being a witness in this world. And where are you to do that? Wherever you are, where God puts you. We have one little saying that was given to us, and had it in Germany. We got it in here in America too. It says, bloom where you're planted. That means we need to let the bloom in our hearts and let the Lord work in a great way. And we have greatly enjoyed getting to know you and being your church great. What do you call it, that point?
Connect.
Connect. Enjoyed that much, the lesson this morning. And your emphasis on missions is a tremendous blessing. And even your service here, the way it is, this looks more like German to me than it does Dumas. I don't know. We got woods like that. But we also use this to show, you know, for our singing songs, and we have a group in the front that sing and encourage us in the singing and such, and feel very good here. And we are, as Pastor mentioned, we are available. God has brought us back, and we have ministry. My wife, you'll not find a better lady to teach your ladies and reach their hearts than my wife. But don't ask her a question if you don't want a real answer, because she is very direct, but lovingly so. And we have been ministering not only in Germany, but we also ministered to many other countries throughout Europe many times, being encouragement to other missionaries, ministries, also American military some, and also with Russia, Siberia. We were five times, had missions trip in Siberia. And you might think it was been cold out here. This, you don't know what cold is here. It's cold in Siberia. And but we when we first flew there, Sandy looked at me, and the airplane was a Air Siberia, and it was not in the best of shape. And she looked at me, I don't think we ever want to do this again. But after we met the people, and I tell you, we saw some real revival in Siberia, and also in Ukraine, and different places, Romania. I loved preaching in Romania. People really responded to the invitation more than we do here in America and in Germany. And we enjoyed our ministry greatly. And God has moved us. So we're here. We're available for men's meetings, ladies' meetings, whatever, mission conferences. And if we can be any help, you let us know. We'll be glad to do that. Appreciate it. This morning, God has led me to go to Exodus chapter 3. I told Sandy I've never preached this message before. And so it's something the Lord laid upon my heart yesterday. And this is talking about Moses coming to the burning bush. As we come to this verse, this chapter 3, Moses is now 80 years old, okay? I turn 77 next month. So he was 3 years older than I am. And, of course, Aaron was his older brother, even older than that, when God came to use him. And he's had some experiences. He was birthed by a godly mother and raised at her knee, and got a love of God that got from his, I believe, from his mother. And he had a heart for the people of Israel. But he had some bad experiences. Well, let's stand for the reading of God's Word here, beginning in verse 1 of Exodus chapter 3. But now Moses has fled from Egypt because he killed a man. And he did it out of, what do you call it? I'm thinking German, Eifer, out of great wanting to help the people of Israel. And so he killed an Egyptian, and he had to flee because he committed murder. He ends up on the backside of the desert, and there he's watching. He was 40 years old when that took place, and so he spent 40 years on the backside of the desert taking care of sheep. And now he's 80 years old. And I'm sure in the mind of most of us, we think, well, life's over pretty much. 80 years old, it's over. I'm sure there's some people here over 80, I don't know. But you might think God's through with you, but as long as you got breath, God's got a purpose for you. And you'll see in these lessons that Moses was hurt inside. He was hurt as far as his concept of God using him to be a blessing to the people of Israel. And so he's back there with these sheep. In verse 1 here, "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. He led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight while the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place wherein thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And you know, you have some sorrows in your heart, you have some disappointments, you have some hurts. And nobody knows your sorrows and your hurts and what you have been injured in your life like the Lord does. And He cares. He cares for you. And He wants to help us. He took those sorrows upon Him. He took those sins and all the things that hurt you. The Lord died to take those away from us. We don't have to suffer under those things. And so he comes down in verse 8, "And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land into a good land, and a large, and a land flowing with milk and honey, under the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherein the Egyptians oppress them. Come now therefore, and I will send thee to Pharaoh, and that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I, that I should go to Pharaoh, and I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt?" Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Lord and God, we need to realize that You are very active and concerned about this world. And God, that You have a plan, that You have a victory, that You want to work in the lives of every person on this world. Lord, I'm thankful that You're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And there surely is somebody here today who's burdened and chained by sin and needs Your salvation today. I pray, God, You would touch them and, Lord, assure their hearts that You love them, that You have paid a price for them, that You want them to be free. And Lord, help us who are saved to realize that Your purpose for us, and not react in unbelief, but in belief, and let You cleanse us and change us and empower us. God, we thank You that You not only walk with us, You walk in us, Lord. That You are our victory, and we want to give You the glory. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Yeah, I noticed that one song, "The Lord Walks With Us." And He does walk with us. The Bible talks about that. But I'm thankful He goes quite a step further, and He lives in us. And He is the joy and the hope of our heart. He is our peace. He's everything that you need and that I need in our lives. Jesus Christ is for us. And so, here you got to think about Moses now. as I described a very hurt man in a way, 80 years old, and he doesn't even have his own flock. He's watching the flocks of his father-in-law. You know, you must think about how depressing that would be at 80 years of age, not even having your own flock. But he's down here in the backside of the desert, and out there in the desert, I'm sure the last thing he had in mind was meeting God out in the backside of the desert. And one of the reasons he was so hurt and such is because he really wanted to help Israel back 40 years earlier when he was trying to help somebody, and they wouldn't believe him. And you see the thing, this hurt has festered in him. That means it's just sort of grown. It's like a thorn in his flesh that he had tried to help them, and they couldn't understand. They didn't understand that, and so they rebuked him. As a matter of fact, there's one of the Israelis who was trying to help him. He says, "Are you going to kill me too, just like you did that Egyptian yesterday?" I mean, and so he had to flee for his life, and that's when he comes to this, and he comes in verse 10, or verse 11, "And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt?" You've got to realize God had promised Israel back in Abraham, He was going to give them that land, that they're of Israel. He promised to give them the land of Israel, a land flowing with milk. He said, gave the same thing to Jacob. I think it's interesting, like in that Psalm 46 you're reading there about, it says, the God of Jacob. Jacob is the original name of him, and it means a supplanter, the one that grabbed the heel of his brother as they were being born, the one that reached after thing, the self-serving person in Jacob. Of all the patriarchs, he was the most, I'd say, the saddest of all of them. He always looked on the negative side of things. He was that very self-serving type of a person. And God changed him to Israel, Prince of God. Thank God we don't need to be self-serving, fighting for our things. You know, all things are given to us in Jesus Christ. We need to humbly accept what God gives us and the way God leads. And so now this is basically 300 years later, after they went down to Egypt during that time of drought. And so Israel's been there, and then comes a time that Moses was born, and he 40 years he was being trained to be. Actually be a son of the Pharaoh, a grandson of the Pharaoh. He, in fact, I'll read that to you in Acts chapter 7, verse 22. "And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and was mighty in words and in deeds." Interesting. I'm going to read that again. "And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and was mighty in words and deeds." Now, Moses is going to say that he can't talk. That's his problem. He couldn't talk. And guys, well, who made the tongue? And all these things. But there wasn't anybody in the world better formed by God to go to Pharaoh than Moses. He knew all the wisdom. He knew all these things. He had all the things of the Egyptians, all the learning, their language, and all these things. I mean, God had a purpose. God had upon His heart His people, the people of Israel, to take them out of Egypt and to give them the land. This was a land for a promise for over 300 years at this time unto them. And this was a purpose of God. And I think we need to concentrate in our lives We are all individuals of God. Exactly where we were born, where we raised, God has a purpose for every person. God has a purpose for you. God has a mission for you. Over in Germany, I remember it was back in 2006, I met Brother Edward Taylor. He was just graduating from West Coast Baptist Bible College. And we were there at a celebration in Hillcrest I think it was the 50th anniversary of the church. And he came there for that. His folks were members there. He was a member there and actually in a church there. And I found out from him that God had called him to go to Germany. Now, Brother Taylor is a man of color. And so I sat down with him and I talked with him for 30 minutes about God's plans for his life, about what's involved in going to Germany, with the language and everything else. He had actually been born in Germany his father is a U.S. Army, mother's a German, and he went to 12 years of his youth he spent in Germany. And so he had a knowledge of German language already. Good things. God was preparing him. And so I talked to him about possibility. Later on, he talked to many other missionaries that were dealing with Germany, in German and such like that. And he even visited many of the ministries when he came on a survey trip. And he said the other missionaries asked him, or actually basically told him, they didn't think he should be a missionary to Germany because he was a man of color. And I told him, I said, later when he communicated that with me, I said, you know, when Peter and the others were being interviewed by the Sanhedrin under persecution, it says they took knowledge that they had been with Jesus because of the zeal that they had. But that in spite of the fact that they were unlearned people, that means they weren't taught by the Sanhedrin, they weren't taught by the priests. Their ignorance was something that God could use for His glory. And you know, it doesn't matter what race you are, doesn't matter what your background is, God can use you. God has a purpose for us. You have breath in your life, God has a purpose for you in your life. And we need to be yielded and pray that God would help us to have the compassion and the wisdom and the opportunities to witness. And by the way, some of the people that maybe are your biggest thorn in the flesh, some of the biggest enemies you have, may be some of the greatest opportunities to really show the love of Christ. Amen. It's easy to be nice to people that are nice to you. I tell you, when we have difficulties and we have problems, pray for God's opportunity to show forth His compassion to them. Look for opportunities to witness to them. And then when God gives those to you and places on your heart, act according to that. Let God love them through you. It's just like some people in their marriages have some real problems now. So Andy and I, we've had our problems too. Praise God, we've gotten through it. We're still working on it. I mean, we're not in heaven yet. But I tell you what, some people get very, very agitated and hateful to each other. God even says, love your enemies. And you may not be able to love somebody, but I tell you what, Jesus Christ died for them all. And we need to pray that God's love would come through us. We don't have to depend upon our own abilities, our own caring. It's God's love. God's working through us. So Moses is coming now, very brumming. He says, I can't do that. I've already failed. 80 years old. I've just sort of, my life's been wasted. That was 80 years of preparation for the ministry. You see, God had a purpose for Moses. It's like He has a purpose for me and for you. And I think I told Pastor the other day when he called me, it says, God took us out of Germany. God can take the missionary out of the field, but He doesn't take the field out of the missionary. And that's a heart that we have for people. So they came here and comes, and the angel of the Lord appeared in him, a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. You know, the bush burned, but didn't get burnt up. I tell you what, I thought also in looking at this passage, it says we need to have the fire of God in our hearts. That God, the burning of God in us, because it's not going to hurt you. There may be a price to pay because of it, but believe me, He's not interested in burning up our bush. He's interested in just being revealed as the burning greatness of God. So God, Moses turned aside, and he turned to that, and God said, turn to this, and he wants to, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Moses, Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look up upon God. God had a godly fear. We need to have a great respect for God. I'm afraid that's something in our day and age that is almost trodden underfoot. Is a respect of God and the gods of things. People are so concerned about people getting their feelings hurt. And not doing anything to hurt anybody's feelings. And we should never purposely try to hurt people's feelings. But we need to be concerned about hurting God's feelings. Taking a stand like what God wants. And so these are important things in our lives to have a godly fear. And so we come here in verse 7, and God, the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And truly the Lord is a Lord of sorrows. I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good land and large, into a land flowing with milk and honey, unto a place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come unto me. And then verse 10, now come now, therefore, and I will send thee to Pharaoh, and thou shalt, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. As I said, God has a purpose for us, for each one of us. It's very easy to look at our lives and the problems we have, and we all have our own defeats, we have our own problems, we have our own background, we have our own luggage that we're carrying along. And we may come and say, well, God couldn't use me. I don't care what you might have. God couldn't use me. I tell you what, God likes to use things that are broken. Amen. He likes to heal things. We talked about that in the Sunday school greatly today. It was a very good lesson. Talking about how God, and actually the brokenness that we have and that we feel, is one of the conditions of our coming to the Lord. I mean, the Pharisees who thought they were so great and looking down upon all the people because they could only see the faults that people have and did not look at themselves, they were in no condition to come to the Lord or to be accepted by the Lord. We have to come as a needy people. And as we come this way, broken and needy, God takes us in. Amen. And as the lesson said, who He takes in, nobody, who those that come to Him, He will no wise cast out. Praise God. Amen. But God will use us. Praise God. And so Moses here, he's basically at 80 years of age, a broken man. And he says, who am I? You know, we've got to realize God is moving in our lives. Each one of us has got people that we work with, people that we are related to, people that we have as neighbors, that God is wanting to be reached for Jesus Christ. And He wants to use you. He wants to use me. We've got to come and realize God is moving. Moses, he thinking all he did, all the mistakes he made, all the problems he had, how he ran out, and this and that and the other, and all the problems of if he goes back, they may still be hunting him for the death of that Egyptian they killed. All these problems and difficulties. He just had a hard time seeing that God could really use him. And maybe you're having that same problem today. In your life, you think of all the things that you've had for mistakes, and how can God possibly use me? I tell you what, God's interested in changing us. Amen. Or taking our brokenness as it is and use it for His glory. I tell you, that's the really picture we should have here. Moses had quite a conversation with God about this. I mean, actually, two chapters here. It's mostly God talking to God, says, I've got a purpose for you. And if God's got a purpose, He will fulfill that. If we'll just yield to Him and be yielded and let Him do what He wants to do in our lives. And you've got to realize it's God in us. The hope of glory. God the one that can fulfill these things. Not us with our feeble efforts, what we can accomplish. Without Him, we can do nothing. But I like one verse, I love it. Actually, on all our newsletters, I put in Philippians 4:13. Now, Pastor, have you ever talked to somebody about a ministry or doing something in the church, and they answer to you, oh, I can't do that. I know and through the 54 years of ministry, I've many times talked about something needs to be done, this or that or the other, and, oh, I can't do that. Philippians, what's it say, preacher? Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now, it may be a question of whether or not it's God's will for you to do this or not. That's an open question. But if God led you something, God brought something to do in your life and to use you, you can do it through Christ or Christ doing it in you. There's nothing too impossible for God. It's mostly just impossible people that won't let God work. We stand in the way more than what God wants to do through us and in us. I tell you, it's a wonderful what God can do. I think back when we were just married, we got married September the 2nd, 1966. I am amazed as I look back upon that. The next month, we were in church. Actually, at that time, we were in Pueblo, Colorado, where Sandy was born and raised, at Hilltop Baptist, yeah? Park Hill Baptist Church. I knew there was a hill in there. Anyway, Park Hill Baptist Church in Pueblo, Colorado. And Sandy was there in the church very faithfully working, and I got saved, got baptized there, and got in. We were on visitation. I was teaching a Sunday school class. We were in the choir. We were out on visitation. And we got married there in the church, September the 2nd, 1966. The next month, it was a Sunday night. Brother Fred Brewer was a pastor at that time, and he was preaching. It wasn't on missions. We hadn't talked about it. But God touched our hearts. I went forward in the invitation. Brother Brewer came, asked me what I was coming for. I said, God has called me to be a missionary. And so we prayed about that. And I got up, looked across the way, and Sandy came forward too. I didn't know it. I was praying with Miss Brewer. And God touched her heart also. God wants you to be a missionary. Together, but separately. God put our heart upon that. And that God would move us and go to Germany. We had no idea of what it was going to be like in Germany. We were just ignorant. We hadn't made a trip over there. At that time, they didn't do that much. And so we didn't go over there, but we knew God was leading us to Germany. And we had no idea how hard it was to do a ministry in Germany. But believe me, it is much more difficult than we had anticipated. I tell you what, it was something God was doing. And if God is in it, I tell you, there's no limit what God can do. I tell you, we need to come and yield. See, Moses now, he was thinking about his situation. His defeats, his problems, the rejection that he had experienced from Israel, and also even the Egyptians, they were hunting him for death when he left, for murder. He's thinking about all these things, and his life is spent, but he wasn't concept about what God was doing. And God came and revealed His will for him. And you know, the biggest decision is not necessarily to be a missionary or a pastor or something like that. The decision that's really important is, am I going to serve God? Is I'm going to be available for God to use me? That's the point. You come to that point, God will lead the rest of the way. But until a person comes and is willing to say, God, whatever, I want to do what you want. I want you to work through me and just reveal your will. Until you come to that point, you don't know what God's got. You're like Moses here arguing with God about how he couldn't talk. He got so mad, you read it in there, God got upset with him. He got really upset with him. And God, he came to a point, he said, Lord, I'm not eloquent, I can't. And then God says, now go therefore, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. You know, God's able. God's able to do this. And if you come and trust Him, He'll work it all out. I can do all things through Him which strengtheneth me. Jesus Christ, we can today. And get some of that old argument from the flesh and the world and defeat and past, get that behind us. And let God just do what He wants to do in our lives. And He says, and then even after God said, I'll teach you, that, by the way, it's Exodus 4 and verse 12. Now therefore, I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. And then Moses said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt. And what he's basically saying there, send anybody you want, but not me. Surely there's somebody else that's able to do it. And as I said, he was in the place from his training, from his birth, from his experience. He was the best man, but he wasn't seeing it. And God, help us to yield to God. To realize God knows what He's doing. And God's got a purpose for you. And the first step is to yield and say, Lord, I'll give my life to you. And if you've not done that yet, you're missing out on the greatest experience in life, the greatest blessing. Praise God. He's got the adventure of a life is ahead of you. Praise God. The step that makes the huge difference in life. But finally he came. And he goes. And it wasn't easy. I tell you, serving the Lord isn't always easy, but I tell you, it's blessed. You look at Moses, and he didn't want to, partly because maybe he knew it was going to be difficult going back to Pharaoh. He said, Pharaoh, he's a hard nut. You know what? God's got a wrench that'll fit any nut. And you can be a hard nut, but I tell you what, you're not going to come out ahead with God by staying a hard nut. It's better to let God put grease or WD-40 on you and move you around and change things around. Believe me, it's a lot easier in the long run. God's able. God's got a purpose and God's loving. But I tell you what, we've got to let God be God. One of the biggest problems, we like to be God. We like to tell God. You know, even Job did that. At the end, he had to bow before God. and be humble and say, God, I've spoke as a foolish person. But help us not to be foolish. To realize that God's in control. God had a purpose in Job's life. I must call him Hiob. It's a German word for Job. God had a purpose for Job. And God wanted to be glorified in Job's life. And he was glorified in Job's life. But he had to learn some things. And you know, maybe you've known a lot about God. And you even know him as your Savior. I tell you what, through all of his sufferings, he said, I had known about God, I knew God, but now I've seen him. We need to experience God in our daily lives. That God reveals himself in our lives and uses us for his honor and glory. It's the greatest privilege in this world. And praise God. You know, I don't think we have too much more time, Pastor. I'm talking about eternity. We're heading. For those of us who are saved, we're standing on the brink of eternity. And this world, an opportunity to see our friends and our neighbors and our people we work saved and changed, and our children to grow up to love and serve God. The time's drawing short, people. And we need to be yielded now. And let God fulfill all in our lives and work through us. Because we'll be blessed for that. And God's love and God's blessing flowing through us to the people round about us. We are blessed. And just like in giving to missions and praying for missions, that's God's blessings flowing through you. And you're blessed. And giving for God. I tell you what, we have a God who's faithful. I was thinking this morning, you know, in our 48 years in Germany, there were many difficulties in our lives. There were impossible situations. There were times that the dollar was down and prices went up and even support was sparse. But you know what? God always supplied what we needed. One time when it was down a low part, well, there was a church in Mexico that I didn't even know the church. I didn't know the missionary. But they took us on for support, Pastor. Because God knows your need. And God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we think or ask. Our God is great, and our God's too small in our mind. Believe me, God is much greater than you can possibly comprehend. And God is faithful. And God is powerful. Let's let God be the powerful God He is in our life and reveal it around about us. Praise God. This COVID problem, I'll tell you what. You know, last year we went on furlough, came back the end of January. And we were back to the end of March. And we came into Colorado, up in Ohio, and used a car from my son and drove all the way down to El Paso and back and churches along the way and all kinds of things. And people said, well, aren't you afraid of COVID? Well, you know, we don't need to be stupid. We need to practice hygiene. We need to be a blessing and to trust God. I may get COVID. I may have already had COVID. I don't know, but God, if I did, God heal me from it. And God's able to heal me. God's able to protect us in the first place. And God's able to heal us if we get it. And if God uses COVID to take me home to glory, I'm supposed to be sad about that? I tell you, the best thing is yet to come. We are not to live in fear. We are not to live in fear. We have a God who's faithful and takes care of His kids. And God does not want us to live in fear, but to glorify Him and to be wise and to be godly. That's the important thing. Moses, I tell you, he was really put in a spot by God, wasn't he? Because here he was thinking his life is all ruined and messed up, and He's just a failure out there watching his father-in-law's sheep. And God used him to write 5 books of the Bible, to take the people of Egypt and take the people of Israel out of Egypt. God worked miracles through him. People, God's still working miracles. We have a miracle working God. And I don't know what kind of a miracle you need in your life, but the miracle starts in here in our hearts. As we come and accept him as a powerful God and yield to him and let him work his miracle on his way around about us, that he might receive the glory. And I tell you, if you don't know him as your Savior today, you're missing out. Because a miracle is here waiting for you in Jesus Christ. And it's not in this church. Now, God can use the church just like he can use us. But salvation is not in the church. It's in Jesus Christ, what he did on the cross of Calvary and his shed blood as he died, that all that come to him should not perish but have everlasting life. It's in him. And if you have him, you have salvation. If you don't have him, you may be a church member. You may be this, that, and the other thing. You may be a good person like the world looks at. I tell you what, you're lost and on your way to hell if you don't have Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. But let's look now to the Lord in prayer. Let's stand. And we just want to give an opportunity. Nobody is forced to, but I tell you what, Moses ended up stepping forward and doing it. And he would have been better if he'd done it earlier. But God has a way to work on us. And God's patient, God's loving. Let's look to the Lord in prayer this morning. Our God and Lord, I thank you today that you are the great God of creation. Lord, that you are the worker of all things in our life, our wonderful salvation. And then also the privilege of service. And I pray for that individual today that knows you not as Savior here in this auditorium. Lord, they would open their heart and trust in you as their personal Savior and turn from their sin in their life. And God, we come as a broken people and thank you. You're the great healer. And I just claim your victory in our lives today. There may be Christians here today that are discouraged and loaded down, God. I'm thankful that you're the one that carries our burden. Help us to cast our burdens upon you, that you care for us and that you are our victor. We thank you today that we can trust you with these things. And Lord, there may be somebody here that is saved but has never been baptized, scripturally baptized. I pray, God, you touch their lives and help them to yield to that they might be a full member and have the full blessing of being a member in one of your churches. God, we thank you for your will for our lives, for your purpose, for your victory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Pastor, would you...